The new book, It Was Vulgar and It Was Beautiful, How AIDS Activists Used Art to Fight a Pandemic, tells the powerful story of Grand Fury, the art collective within well-known activist group ACT UP, who fought back during the AIDS crisis through organizing, direct action, and community-made propaganda. Their pioneering strategies are today employed by a variety of activist groups, including survivors of school shootings and harm reduction organizers and activists for universal health care. It Was Vulgar and It Was Beautiful examines Grand Fury's formation, art, and activism against corporate greed, government inaction, and public indifference to AIDS. Author Jack Lowry shows how ACT UP's successes often relied upon the sloganeering of Grand Fury's posters, stickers, T-shirts, pins, and billboards. The book is fascinating. It's entitled It Was Vulgar and It Was Beautiful, How AIDS Activists Used Art to Fight a Pandemic. Jack Lowry, welcome to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Very nice to have you here. How did you come to this particular project?
Right after the 2016 election, I was sort of, very dismayed at the, state of the country and what was happening, as were, many other people. And I started to investigate and look into other movements, in, American history. And I became particularly interested in ACT UP and got more and more invested in ACT UP strategies, how they had, organized and combated the AIDS crisis in their time. And at the time I was getting really interested in ACT UP strategies, I noticed Grand Fury, popping up increasingly. And it just seemed to me increasingly like this was a really important part of ACT UP's story that hadn't been documented. And at the time that I started to, think about this or feel this way, I was at Columbia doing my MFA, and I was about to start teaching there as well. I started to look up what had happened to Grand Fury's members, and it turned out that one of them, Tom Kalin, was on the floor above me. And I had passed by his office probably 100 times. Mm. And so I decided to reach out to him and ask him if he would let me interview him. And he said yes, and that's how the book got started.
So there is ACT UP, this activist group, AIDS Coalition to Unleash Power. At what point did this art collective, Grand Fury, come out of ACT UP?
Grand Fury formed at the end of 1987/ the beginning of 1988. Their first poster was called AIDS 1 in 61, and that came out in January of 1988. But a lot of the friendships and relationships that went into the formation of Grand Fury had been existent for, in some cases, more than a decade.
Who ultimately, when they were looking to do what they were doing in this art collective, how much did they have free rein to do what they wanted to do, and how much were they working with ACT UP and its members?
Well, Grand Fury always had free rein to do whatever it pleased. But oftentimes Grand Fury's projects would take wing from either an upcoming demonstration that ACT UP was staging or from an issue that ACT UP was trying to address. So oftentimes what would happen is Grand Fury met the night after ACT UP's weekly meeting. And so oftentimes the conversations that would be happening at the kind of bigger general meeting would percolate into Grand Fury meetings, and they would, sort of brainstorm like, okay, this thing is coming up. Can we address it? Is there something that we can do for it? Is there appetite amongst the members? So it was really up to their own discretion what they did and did choose to address in their work.
At what point during the crisis did Grand Fury become really at its height?
That's an interesting question. I would say probably around 1989, 1990 is around the time where Grand Fury by that time, by 1989, 1990, they've solidified into a core group of people. They're regularly meeting. They're regularly producing work. They have quite a few successes under their belt, and they're really humming by that point. And I think to put that in the larger context of the AIDS crisis, I think that was the year that, I think 1989 was probably the year that the number of AIDS deaths in America exceeded the number of deaths, the number of American deaths in the Vietnam War. I would have to double check that statistic, but I'm pretty sure about that.
You have at the beginning of the book a roster of Grand Fury's members and how they appear in the book. Give us a sense of who some of these people are and how they ultimately get involved in Grand Fury.
I mean, it's 10 individual members. They're all, distinct people, and they all kind of came to ACT UP in their own particular way, ACT UP in Grand Fury in their own particular way. But I think one commonality that I saw in a lot of the stories of people was feeling like that AIDS was really beginning to impact their life, and that they didn't either, they themselves were HIV positive, they suspected that they were, a partner was, dying of AIDS, and they felt this kind of need to do something about it beyond kind of the more service-oriented aspects of, AIDS care at that time. And I think for a lot of these people, ACT UP showed up, ACT UP appeared to them, or they found ACT UP, and it was like, I can plug into this organization. I can find something. Yeah, I can use my talents here and not just kind of be alone in my, frustration about what's happening in the world.
And this is really remarkably as the trauma of AIDS is at its worst, that this creative output is taking place.
Yeah.
Which is quite remarkable.
Sure, definitely.
I would think that would be difficult to do, but what do you think the motivation was to allow that to happen?
I think the motivation comes from a couple of places. I think one of them is that, a lot of the people in Grand Fury were trained or working as graphic designers, art directors, or working artists. And so ACT UP was a place where you were really encouraged to contribute what you could to the organization. And oftentimes what people did in ACT UP mirrored their day jobs. So, the people who were working, doing publicity campaigns for magazines or working in PR, those were the people who oftentimes would decide, or would join the media committee, which was in charge of publicizing ACT UP's efforts. So it's very common that people contributed what they were already good at. Nobody expected, the accountants to go make posters or anything like that. But if you did have those skill sets, you were very much encouraged to use them. So I think that that's one dimension of it. I think another dimension of it is that, Grand Fury is producing, it is art, but it's also, based very much in advertising. And I think that a lot of them, the people who kind of coalesced around Grand Fury, saw this kind of advertising problem, or they would define it as an advertising problem of like, AIDS is not being talked about in the media, in politics, in many facets of public life in a way that we feel like represents our lives or that we want to see the conversation happening. And so we can use this to kind of level the playing field against the people that we see as our antagonists.
Why do you believe, and why did the people that you talked to believe that the art, that the posters made a difference and resonated with so many people?
I think it's a lot of things. I think one of the things is that they were extremely contemporary. I mean, they still feel very, very contemporary.
They
do. If you look at a lot of that work, it doesn't feel outdated. It wasn't the kind of, it was very much moving away from the kind of political graphics that people were used to either from activist groups or from, coming from politicians. This work was really fresh. It's really appealing. And it's really sexy and it's fun. And I think that you have this kind of aesthetic that's going, it's very fresh. It's speaking to young people. And it's also coming at a time where you're not seeing, the representations of people with AIDS that you're seeing in the media are these super disempowered figures. They're alone, they're isolated, they're sick. They're not fighting for their lives. They're not fighting for their communities. And so I think that Grand Fury's work became a way of circulating images that counteracted the kind of predominant notions of or the predominant images of people with AIDS.
Where were the best places, and how were the posters and the art, how was it ultimately displayed and that decided of the best places for it to go?
So originally, when Grand Fury got started, most of their posters were just repasted around lower Manhattan. And it was oftentimes, you know, people are creatures of convenience. They would, you know, go around and repaste it around their neighborhood. They would, right. You know, this is a time where lower Manhattan looked very different. You could repaste a poster and, you know, you're not going to get bothered by the cops for something like that. I'm sure now you might, but not at that moment in lower Manhattan, you weren't going to get, you know, hassled usually. Maybe, you know, people on the street would actually be more likely to kind of be antagonistic, but usually not from law enforcement in those sorts of situations. But eventually what Grand Fury started to do when they kind of got tired of, you know, running around with these big buckets of wheat paste was they started finding ways to place their work in spaces that were typically reserved for commercial advertising. It's a pretty distinct shift in Grand Fury's trajectory, but the amount of time that it takes for them to get to that place is actually pretty quick. When they start in the beginning of 1988, they're repasting all these posters themselves. And within about 18 months or so, or maybe even quicker, they're finding ways to place their work in the pages of magazines. Mm-hmm. They're doing nationwide bus campaigns. They're doing, bus stops, like billboards at, you know, some of Manhattan's busiest intersections. It's a pretty swift acceleration from the kind of wheat pasted posters to something that's, you know, kind of in the place of something where you're expecting a more traditional advertisement.
You say in the book, most members of ACT UP recall the years between 1993 and 1996 as their bleakest. This is when Grand Fury starts to decline.
Yeah, I mean, by 1993, Grand Fury has already made its last poster. They made one project after that, but Grand Fury isn't really producing anymore. Some members are still trying to, you know, figure out ways to kind of reinvent the collective, but by 1993, it's pretty much over for them.
And yet, as we pointed out in the introduction, the idea, what was done there, the strategies are employed today. We learned a lot from that.
I think one of the things that Grand Fury really exemplifies is all the things that art or this particular kind of art can do for a movement. Grand Fury's posters and particularly the t-shirts that they designed were huge sources of income for ACT UP. ACT UP was a really, really well-funded group. They were able to stage massive demonstrations around the country. And at the kind of peak of ACT UP's fundraising, they would fly people to, you know, demonstrations at the CDC's headquarters. ACT UP had a lot of resources, and Grand Fury was a huge part of that. And I don't say that to make it sound as if that's all that Grand Fury did, but I think one thing that, you know, maybe younger or, you know, more contemporary activists can learn from Grand Fury is kind of the multitudes of what art can do for a movement. It can serve as branding. When you saw a Read My Lips t-shirt, you knew that the person who's wearing it, you knew what they were part of. It was instantly recognizable. And I think that it was both recognizable to the larger public, and it was also recognizable to people who were in the movement. If you were, you know, obviously if you saw this huge demonstration and everyone's wearing, you know, black t-shirts with pink triangles, you know who it is. There's no confusion about, you know, ACT UP is here. But if you were on your own, just out in the world, and you just pass by somebody on the street who's wearing an ACT UP shirt, you knew that it was a way of seeing yourself out in the world. And right. I think that that's really, I think it's really important that art and social movements can do all of those different things, that it can be more than just a sign demanding something. It can fill all these different roles. And I think that Grand Fury really exemplifies that.
The new book is It Was Vulgar and It Was Beautiful, How AIDS Activists Used Art to Fight a Pandemic. The book is published by Bold Type Books. Jack Lowry, thank you very much for sharing with us this morning. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Again, the name of the book is It Was Vulgar and It Was Beautiful. The book is published by Bold Type Books. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.